Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, July 22nd, 2025. And I'm excited to be with you today. I have a lot to talk about as we continue our exploration of the concept of the beholder. So I'm really excited to bring part two to you, since I had way too much to talk about last week and couldn't get it all in. But I want to start right now by saying, again, thank you for listening today. If you can, join us in the chat room. Go to 12radio.com and click chat, or click the YouTube link posted in there and join us in the YouTube chat. We are live streaming today, and you'll get there and you'll see just the most gorgeous picture that Serena helped me find. Well, Serena found. She didn't help me find it. She found it. And it's just a really beautiful, peaceful scene to listen to the show and maybe put you in a space of just taking it in. You know, just taking it in. I always just invite you to take what resonates, leave what doesn't, whatever I'm saying, you know, you never know. Take what resonates, leave what doesn't, but don't struggle with anything and float along. Just float along, because you never know. You know, when you're in the place of just floating, we take a lot more in than we do when we're, I guess, kind of not floating or on guard or whatever. You know what I mean? Judging. You, when we're floating, we're not judging. We're just enjoying. So anyway, I wanted to start today with a little story, just a little sweet story. My mom passed away a year and a half ago, last November of 2023. And I've talked about my digital picture frame often, because I have pictures of her in there, and I also have pictures of my husband, my late husband. And in comparison to all the other pictures I have on that frame, which are mainly my grandchildren and flowers and plants in my garden, and, you know, that kind of thing, stuff that you just kind of take every day, or I get from my son and daughter-in-law all the time, there are relatively very few pictures of my mother or Janet. So whenever I see them, it just kind of makes me smile, because I think it's sort of a little hello from them. So the other day, I'm in my living room, and I happen to glance at the digital frame, and there's a picture of my mom. And I always say hi to her when I see her on the frame, and I, you know, tell her I love her. And I just said that day, I said, why don't you come see me in my dreams? You know, why don't you stop by? I'd love to see you, basically, is what I was saying. And I've had dreams of her. I've had dreams that I know she's been in, but she's never been like talking to me. You know, it's never been she and I having a conversation or anything like that. So I just asked her, I said, you know, why don't you come see me in my dreams? I miss you. So a few days later, or it might've even been the same day, it was around the same time, I'm working in my office, and I heard something fall in the hallway outside my office door. And when I went and looked, it was a little candle that sits in a little candle holder in a nook in the wall. Now, my house was built in 1951. So at the end of the hall, there's just this little nook. It's about 4 inches deep. And I have, you know, some sweet things in there that I like to see down the hall. But I think originally it was probably a telephone nook. You know, when people had phones that had cords. I think that's what it must have been, because it really doesn't make sense as anything else. So these two candle holders that I have in there, interestingly enough, my son gave to me. He bought it at the 12th house, our cousin's brick and mortar store, when he was a kid. So they're these little, they're like cobalt blue with little gold stars on them. And they're tiny. And they hold candles that are about, I guess the candles are about 3 inches tall and not much wider than a pencil. So small candles. And so I have two little candle holders and two candles. Now, this wall is solid. It's not an outside wall. Nobody else is in here. you know, Grace was laying on her bed in my office with me when this little candle fell out. And it didn't just fall, like it had fallen out of the holder. It would have probably fallen just on the shelf or tipped over, like more like tipped over. It didn't. It projected out of the holder onto the floor. And I went out there and I thought, it's the strangest thing. It's just the strangest thing. So I picked it up and I put it back and I was kind of thinking, because it was just weird. You know, it was just an odd thing. And then I realized it was a hello from my mom. And, you know, sitting in a little candle holder that her grandson, her biggest fan and vice versa, gave to me. And then I realized even later than that it was a candle that I'd brought from her house after, you know, when we packed up her stuff. So, you know, it was just a sweet little hello. And, you know, my mom's was always a really independent woman. And it's like, well, you know, I don't really want to come see you in your dream, but I'll throw a candle at you. So it was just great. It was really, really just great. Anyway, I like to share stories like that because, number one, they're sweet. They're filled with love and they're never gone. You know, these bodies that we have, they're just our house. They're not us. And, you know, the people that we loved are just always, they're always here and they're always going to be here. So anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. And also wanted to tell you that, again, back to, like, I got kind of out of order with my chat room, inviting you to the chat room on YouTube. You can click the YouTube link in the 1-2 Radio chat room and feel free to comment or ask questions about the teaching segment or whatever. And I'll answer them after the show. I'm not good at multitasking. I can't stay on track with what I want to talk about and check a chat room. It's just not my gift. So admitting that right off the bat, I will answer you back after the show. But if you would like a reading from me, you can find me every day on 1-2listen.com. I'm available usually mid to later morning Pacific time into the evening. If you happen to stop by and don't see me or if I'm busy, just schedule a call or put in a back request. I'll be notified immediately via text and I will get back to you as soon as I possibly can. And that's 1-2listen.com. We have reduced rates a few times a week on 1-2listen, typically Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. That means as it is a reduced rate on calls and chats on those days. This week, we'll be celebrating the new moon on Thursday. If you want to be notified of our specials, go to 1-2listen.com and sign up for 1-2 promotions. Also, as you leave your email address, and then you will know everything that's going on because Mark Husson puts out the greatest postcards in the world. And just to let you know, I still have my Welcome Summer, Here Comes the Sun, 15-minute time-based session available on 1-2listen.com. And a time-based session is really cool because you just buy a chunk of time. If you call me to talk to me, we'll talk for however many minutes. But you buy a chunk of time, 15 minutes in this case, and we can cover a lot of ground in 15 minutes. In this session, the idea is to move energetic blocks, things that are keeping you from being your light and experiencing your good. Limiting beliefs, doubt, fear, unworthiness, all of those things are not you. They are not you. They're erroneous information, limiting beliefs in your space. And they can all be released so that you can experience your greatest expression. Summer, bright, out, light. Be part of it. So it's always the great healing, just releasing what doesn't belong to you so that the truth of you, which is God, can shine through. And again, have a greater expression in your everyday experience. And also, I want to remind you of the gratitude board on 1-2listen.com. Post what you're grateful for. And the advisors at 1-2listen, we moderate that board. And we will add our intention to yours. And there's a lot of power in agreement. But the best part, you can post anonymously. So why not? Let us support you. And again, I want to thank you for listening to 12radio.com, however and whenever you do. There is programming 24/7, and there are archives of all of the shows from all of the hosts in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. You can download them anytime you want. 12radio is a great source of inspiration, information, and support. So please, again, take advantage. And right now, I want to thank Serena for producing my show today and for all that she does for us on 12radio. And let's move into the teaching segment by listening to a song called Faith Keeper, Part 2 by David and Steve Gordon. This is from the Buddha Lounge 2 CD and Sequoia Records. Enjoy it as we switch our vibe to just learning. I'll be back right after. You're listening to Empowerment. My name is Kelly Whetstone, and I'm very happy to be with you today. Sorry about that. I muted myself during the music. I hope you liked it. but I do hope you enjoyed the music. Last week, I started a teaching segment. This is a part two. It's a part two lesson on being the beholder. And last week, when I started teaching, I said, this is a really big topic, and it was for more than one show, and it certainly was. And the topic is not just being the beholder, but the true power of being the beholder, you know, one of my favorite affirmations ever is from Reverend Ike. And it is, I am beholding God in me as my answer in every moment. God is the maintaining, God, source, universe, whatever your word is, whatever all that is, consciousness, life, the Tao, Brahman, whatever your word is, all that is. God is the maintaining, sustaining, governing, and discerning principle of man. If we rest in that truth, you know, if we just have that, occupy it, so to speak, we become the instruments through which God appears. And then we become the beholders of God appearing as our experiences, as what we need, as we need it in the moment, which is also supply, right? Supply is what we need as we need it. And supply is not, you know, commonly thought of as money. Well, money is a demonstration of supply, but supply is source in you, is God in you. And so supply comes as ideas, answers, whatever we need, you know, the tap on the shoulder to call somebody or connect with somebody, or a call from someone we've been thinking about. So supply is just really and truly anything you can think of, what you need when you need it. And that's what happens when we allow that infinite mind to, that lives us anyway, that is the life of us, to take care of us. The governing, discerning, maintaining, and sustaining principle of our lives. But the key to doing that is surrender, because we cannot be the instrument through which God appears if we are struggling to make things happen ourselves. It just won't work. We are resisting what is. When we're struggling to make something happen, to change anything, we are resisting what is. And what you push against is always going to push back. We demonstrate God or source through love, through giving, and through rest. The action part of those, we do our part in the action of loving and giving. You know, being the big person, being generous, showing compassion, being conscious of others, being kind, living in integrity, helping, just, you know, giving. Because I think loving and giving go together. They go together. You know, I think if you, love is shown through giving. And yeah, they go together. They're their own things. But so the point of that is, you know, living the best way we can, being the best that we can be. And that brings to mind, I was listening to on Audible, Swami Vivekananda, and I don't remember what the talk was, but I remember one line that he said. He said, as the Buddha says, do good and be good. That is all. And that's really it. Do good and be good. Do what you're called to do in the present moment and do it to the best of your ability, no matter what it is. So those are the action parts that we can do in demonstrating source. But when we do that, we are not attached to any result. And that is the rest part of it. In other words, we're doing the best we can and we're good. We're good with that. So we don't give things, in other words, we don't give to get, right? We do it because it is in giving that we receive, pardoning that we're pardoned in, and dying that we're born to eternal life, St. Francis. In that detached state, we behold God as our answer, our supply. Again, what we need when we need it. And it's magical. And the thing of it is that it's so easy and so peaceful. But again, surrender means I'm turning control, power, control, and responsibility for everything over to big E, everything. And I go free. It's like casting the burden. I cast the burden on the Christ within and I go free. The burden of whatever it is. It's that. And that is the place where we are the most receptive and I also think the most aware. You know, because we're good. We have space in our space, so to speak. And I have an example of kind of that whole thing of, you know, getting out of the way. A couple of weeks ago, I was concerned about limbs from my trees that were hanging over my neighbor's roof. And it really bothered me. I was really literally concerned. And, you know, for some reason, I let that concern get a foothold. And I could not get the thought of those tree limbs. And then, of course, when you focus on something, it expands, right? Good, bad, or indifferent. Focus, attention is love. Whether you're loving the thing that you're loving, you know, where you want the thing you're loving with your attention or not, it expands. And this is proof, this is textbook. And I'm watching myself do it. But for some reason, I couldn't quite get out of it very easily. But I was, you know, then it went from, wow, those limbs are hanging over their house, to, oh my gosh, if they fall in their house, what could happen? And, you know, then that whole big story, when you're worried about something, you know, worry is being afraid because I'm afraid. And then it expands and expands and expands. And I really honestly was having a tough time getting past that. And that doesn't happen all that often. But when it does, it really takes some effort. But I think about, you know, Stuart Wilde said, some days we are brilliant. We are brilliant. They're brilliant. We're on top of the world. We feel great. We're purposeful. We have a lot of energy. And then some days we just are not. And that's called humanhood. You know, that's called being in a human body, being in an incarnation. And that was really one of those days for me. And it took me a while to get it. It really did take me a while to get out of that. But I finally got my peace back. And somewhere around that time, my nephew came over and I asked him if he could trim those limbs. And he said, sure. But he's so busy at work that, you know, who knows when he'd make it over, really. He just is working like a fiend. God bless, he should be. He makes money working like a fiend. Yeah. And right now it's summertime and he does construction and works outside. So this is when he makes hay, literally. So I was out of that anxious worry part of this whole thing by the time I asked him. And then I was just kind of, I let it go. You know, I really surrendered, truly surrendered the whole thing without holding on to any little piece. You know, that's something that happens, I've noticed. You know, you decide to surrender something, but I want to hold on to this piece and see it through or see what I can do with it. And it's kind of funny, but I think probably you can relate to what I'm saying as I say that. But I just had to let it go. I had to, and I was in the space to totally and completely surrender it in my own being. I surrendered it. I gave it away because I don't know how to trim trees. Now, that's not rocket science, but I don't have a chainsaw and I don't have a tall ladder. So it was literally beyond my capability. So I relinquished all power, control, and responsibility for those branches, pardon me, for those branches, to that, THAT, source, which lives me, the infinite God mind that governs, maintains, and sustains me and everything, because God is everything, including those trees and those branches. So Sunday, a friend of mine gave me a call and asked me to go to lunch and came by and picked me up and had a nice lunch. And when we got back and pulled into the driveway, my neighbor was on his roof trimming the trees. I mean, textbook, right? In that moment, I was beholding God in me as my answer, without question. And, you know, my work and the work in every situation like that, not just my work, but when there is something, You know, we suffer because we want things to be different than they are. That's why we suffer. So when we surrender those things, when we sacrifice that attachment and clinging to something to be different, that's where we run into trouble, is we cling to a desire or an intention or something to be different than it is. And that thing, those branches were just branches being branches hanging over his roof. There's no emotional charge in that, you know, in them, none. So the thing that's happening is just that, a thing that's happening. It's not happening to me or to you. It's just a thing that's happening. How I'm perceiving it is how it affects me. That's the suffering part of it. When I'm just clinging and worry is clinging, concern is clinging to, you know, to something that I can't change, then we suffer. And all I needed to do was get neutral to the situation and give it away, and it was done. It was just done. And that works for everything, absolutely everything. And I was so grateful that I think I giggled as I walked up to my front door and just saying, I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. And again, the examples that I give may sound silly and like no big deal, but that was a big deal. That was a big lesson, a big affirmation of what I already knew. You know, I know that it happens all the time. But, you know, again, I just want to quote Florence Scovel Shinn when she said, divine ideas never conflict. When we're clinging to something, that is conflict, right? That's, you feel it in your gut. You feel it. I feel it in my back. It's just like, and it's in my head and I can't get it out of my head. But divine ideas never conflict. And when we surrender everything, truly surrender it to the infinite self, everything becomes a divine idea, because then it's been turned over and everything is done in divine order. And again, that's just a perfect example of that happening. So last week, I shared from Joel Goldsmith's The Heart of Mysticism and The Art of Meditation. And Joel Goldsmith, if you're unfamiliar, is the writer of The Infinite Way. And Joel is my guru, because Joel is the author, and I've studied forever, but Joel is the mainline. You know, Joel's teachings, I should say, it is a mainline. You practice the presence of God, and then you get out of the way and let God flow. Simple. You meditate, you spend time in the silence, you practice the presence of God, and then you get out of the way with your human control and human thinking, human consciousness, which is small, limited, restricted, fearful. So I shared about the beholder from Joel. That video is up on YouTube, and it's also, the archive is in on 1-2-loop-radio.com. But today I want to share from Irvin Seal, one of my favorite New Thought authors. If you've never read Irvin Seal, he's phenomenal. When I read his books, it's like, it's always felt like being kind of wrapped in a warm chenille blanket when I read Dr. Seal's work. But this is from his book called Take Off from Within. And it's from the chapter called The Bystanding Mind, also known as The Beholder. He wrote, when most modern metaphysicians read the Bible, they take the name Israel as referring not to a religion or a race, but to a certain royal and spiritual state of mind, which has all things in its control, through knowledge and practice of the governing principle. Having power, it is without fear. Being adequate, it knows no antagonist. Being without opposition or frustration, it is at peace with itself and all the world. The name indicates the true stature and nature of man. And that's exactly the governing, maintaining, sustaining principle of our life. Source, God in me, the infinite self. He wrote, "We hurt only when we're identified with littleness, and we are immune to the degree that we are identified with largeness. Underlying this weakness of identifying with smallness is the too strong belief that events are causative and not enough awareness that the soul is the arbiter of destiny. By the soul, I mean the subjective consciousness of the person or the infinite self. This is the creative factor, and events and circumstances are only verifications or confirmations. Until this is clear to a person, there is little hope of deliverance. When it becomes clear, the terrors and miseries of the world are beating retreat, and fear, ancient enemy of human happiness, is undercut and weakened. And that which has caused millions to tremble is itself trembling. All this because such an awareness puts the Creator back on his throne again in the human mind and heart. This changes the angle, the perspective, and the viewpoint. And instead of one being in the middle of a wild vortex of events and crying for help, he's on the outside of what happens to him and around him and views it with a measure of detachment." Right here, I want to interject before I continue with Dr. Seale. My favorite verse or paragraph, I never know what to call them, from the Tao Te Ching. It's paragraph number 9, and it says, "Fill your bowl to the brim, and it will spill. Keep sharpening your knife, and it will blunt. Chase after money and security, and your heart will never unclench. Care about people's approval, and you'll be their prisoner. Do your work, then step back. The only path to serenity." I love that. That is kind of a snap out of it thing for me. But that's it. You know, when we realize that everything we see outside of us are just things that are something that's happening, and they are effects of consciousness, and consciousness is cause. When we understand that, then again, as he said, with that awareness, the Creator is back on the throne again in the human mind and heart. So he goes on to say, "So the opposite of all this personal involvement is the detachment of what we're calling here the bystanding mind. This does not imply withdrawal, but rather that we seek to be participants with control. To be a bystander or a beholder, one must stand outside every situation and view it objectively or unemotionally. Why be livid at another's remark? Does what he says contribute to your success or failure in any way at all? What governs you, your beliefs or another's? Is the creative cause in another and not in you? Are not all men of one father or one source all sharing the same nature? Why should you make yourself subject to another man's thought? You do it, if you do, only because you have not yet sufficiently respected your own thought." That's a biggie. If you knew what thought is, how divine it is, how magical it is, how powerful it is, and if you knew that only your own thought governs you and not another's, then you would stand up tall and straight and strong in this conviction and fear no other. Persistence in this practice would soon bring out truth, and the events and accomplishments would prove who and what you are in the eyes of all men. Another's thought about you has no power unless and until it becomes your thought. That's one of the most powerful lines. And again, that's one that I use often and comes into my head exactly when I need it to. Another's thought about you has no power unless and until it becomes your thought. Remember, everyone is only showing us who they are. But at the same time, as Neville said, everyone comes into our lives to show us who we are. And so if they are showing us who they are, because everyone is speaking and judging and having opinions based on their filters, not on truth. Opinions are only true for the person who holds them. Beliefs are only true for the person who holds them. They are not true. They're not truth. They're not truth. Truth is you're the individualization of source. That's truth. And you are never separate from that source. That's truth. And that, if we have as our foundation and our the place where we return, you know, we return to that place often, then we realize that what anyone else is saying, even if they're pointing their finger at you and telling you how rotten you are, or how awful you are, or how much you disappointed them, or whatever it is, all they're doing is telling you how they're perceiving something. And it has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with you. And that's hard to accept sometimes if someone really is being nasty to you. But at the same time, we're all just ever showing each other our state of consciousness in the moment. That's what we're showing. And again, based on our filters, our experience, the associative mind, you know, it leaps in there and makes judgments. And then we decide those judgments are true. And they're not, you know, they're not. But again, another's thought about you has no power unless and until it becomes your thought. That's a good one to tuck away. He continues, every man is under the governance of his own thought and no others. Your well-being depends on your own thought or consciousness. And this principle is the God in you, or the divine element, or Emmanuel of the Bible, or the infinite self. It is the only cause. The only cause. Its government is called the kingdom of heaven. That's why the kingdom of heaven is within you, not as a deposit or a content or an organ, but as a principle of self-government. To be a beholder is to be inwardly aloof while outwardly active. As Gandhi once said, renounce the world, then take it back on other terms. When I speak of the bystanding mind, I do not include bystanding hands. I do not mean quietism without action, unconcern, selfishness, or irresponsibility. Society has real problems, and every citizen owes some effort toward their solution. But his contribution to the general good will be better if he's found his own emotional center of power and peace. And that, what do we have to give? What do we have to give but ourselves? We have nothing else to give but ourselves. Our vibration, what we put out into the world. So finding that, you know, his own emotional center of power and peace, that's the foundation. The foundation for what we do have to give the world. Again, we're it. Our world is is us pushed outward, period. So that too, it's hard to put into words what I'm trying to say, but a foundation is the best word for it. That's it. When we know who we are, the world looks different and stuff happens. And, you know, we have good days and not great days, brilliant days and not so brilliant days, but we know that that which lives us is God, the infinite God mind that meets every demand that comes to us, if we get out of the way and let it. So he says, the bystanding mind is involved without being embroiled. It is attention without attachment. It is being on top of the job and not having your work ride you. People frequently cry, don't just stand there, do something. The bystanding mind understands this, but also values the opposite view. Don't just do something, stand there. Stand there. I love that. Observe. Observe. Be the observer. That's the power position. That's the beholder. Observe. And when you're in that place of observing and, you know, being the bystander or the beholder, you're in a different place. You're watching things happen, but you're not pulled in by emotion. And that's the difference. You know, being the neutral observer, you can see, like in black and white, what's happening in front of you. But you're not pulled in by the emotion. And that's strength. That's power. He said, be a bystander. Don't get over involved and thereby invite trouble. Be in all things, but not of them. Eat, drink, and be merry, not because tomorrow you die, but because today you live. And live knowing that it is God that lives in you, and He is Almighty. Your life is the life of God, and that is imperishable, indestructible, free, and unrestrained, transcendent forever. That just makes me happy. You know, that's so powerful. And it's just a reminder. You know, again, we live in this incarnation and things happen. Life happens. Life is a wild card. It comes as it does. And the more we push against it, the more it just proves that it's life and it comes as it does. But when we have our roots, our foundations in the truth that, well, as the Buddha said, life is changed, therefore we suffer. But life doesn't bring suffering. It's our desire for life to be different than it is that brings suffering. When we realize that everything outside of us is an effect, it's the consciousness is cause, and our consciousness is God, is all that is the kingdom of heaven within us. Nothing is missing. And again, going back to, you know, we live our best. The three ways of demonstrating God, the three ways of living our best is through loving, giving, and resting. You know, do what we know to do. Be the best people we can be, and then sit back and rest and detach, because that's faith, that's trust, and that is allowing that which lives us to live our best life possible. I mean, honestly, we're the instruments of the Father's appearing here in the physical plane. But we can't be that if we're struggling or fighting or wanting to make something happen. If we're trying to control, then we're not that instrument and we stop the flow of that beautiful infinite mind, just showing us the perfect, you know, the perfect answer to everything. You know, being when in that rest too, I mean, resting is just, it's putting your weight down in it and trusting, but it's also being available to your intuition, you know, because we're guided constantly and following that intuition. You know, you can be at rest, meaning you do your work and then step back, but you can be at that rest and still be available, you know, be guided, be in this moment, what am I called to do in this moment? Or whatever it is you're doing, you have, you know, a to-do list. I have a to-do list. I look at it, I go, okay, I'm going to do this, 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 and this. And then I start to do something and it just doesn't feel right. You know, it feels like I'm pushing, because I can feel that in my back. Like I'm pushing against something. So it's like, okay, I'm going to go do something else. And as soon as I go do something else, that releases, you know, that feeling in my back. Like my, I say it all the time. I'm trying to write something. It's not working. So I go clean a bathroom. or go water my plants or do something totally different just to shake that energy, because everything has, I really do believe divine ideas never conflict, and everything has its perfect time and space to be done. That may sound silly, but that's how my life works. And so when I get back to writing and it is exactly the right time, it flows. I really am that clear instrument through which it flows. And I sort of watch it all unfold as I'm writing. And that's flow. And that's joyful. And that's just God. You know, that really truly is just God demonstrating as whatever it is I need to do. That's supply. What I need as I need it. Ideas, creativity, the ability to and supply also, and this just came into my head, is being able to just be the instrument, right? And watch whatever it is, not that I'm talking about writing, but whatever it is that you have to do, whatever it is. And even just resting, you know, taking a break, having a cup of tea, just doing that and being in that moment, giving yourself the permission to do that. That too is just resting. It's okay. It's okay not to be doing something quote unquote productive in every moment. It's okay. God is the governing, maintaining, sustaining, and discerning principle in man. And Joel said, God is only glorified in our success. And for me, success is, that success for me, is maybe better English, is surrendering everything to that which lives me and getting out of the way. That's success, truly getting out of the way, because then I'm beholding God as my answer in every moment. I'm following my intuition. I'm watching, because I don't know, you know, like with the trees, I don't know how to trim trees. I can't do it. You do it, you know, whatever. I relinquish all power, control, and responsibility. And they got done. they got done. That was just such a delightful thing. Exodus 14:13. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. So I just want to say thank you for joining me today. I hope you found that valuable. It was really my delight and pleasure and blessing to share that with you. You've been listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. We're here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that you listen to the world. Thanks for joining me in the YouTube chat room, and I'm going to go back and after the show's over and check it out. So please have a very blessed week, and please stay tuned for Katie Weaver. Bye, everyone.